see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
And, you know, I mean, it's obvious, like this head wound that he has is a metaphor for this entire season. It is not fully healed. It could be reopened.
This season is wounded.
It could be reopened. I mean, it is at any time. Like he, maybe the Band-Aid is off, but he is not fully healed.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Lee Blickley.
Lee, I just really need to tell you something that's been on my heart. Like, I'm so grateful because you are you. And there's no one else like you.
Wow, Emma, that's so beautiful. You know, I've really been praying too, and I've been reflecting and thinking about what's on my heart. And the thing that's on my heart tells me that we need to recap last night's episode of The Bachelor.
Thank you for your honesty. I love that. I have to respect you and your heart. And joining us today in studio to share what's on his heart is attorney, Bachelor alum, and BFF of the pod, Michael Garofola.
Hey, guys.
What's on your heart, Michael?
There's so much. There's so much on my heart.
But, like, have you really dug deep? Have you, like, opened your chest cavity and, like, seen what's settling there on the ventricle?
And my therapy bills would corroborate that.
Well, we're so happy you're here. You're here because we have so much to discuss. This might be one of the first episodes where we have stuff to really dissect, like Peter's heart.
No bickering, actual plot. And we're also in luck because this is the episode that you got sent home on your season, right?
This is. I also, like, we'll get into it, I'm sure, a little more
later.
You're
the Natasha.
But I'm the Natasha. I also had the let's explore the city date after the, you know, really romantic date the day before with, like, the person she actually wants to make out with.
In my case, it was she.
In this case, he.
We're gonna have a lot of fun with this. First, I just have to ask the big question: is Peter just a bad bachelor?
Yeah.
Right.
Like it's a hard question, but it's also the truthful question of the season. He's not a good bachelor.
I think maybe
he's a good person. He just doesn't know how to make decisions.
Yeah, I think he's like a good dude. You know, you interviewed him. I got a little bit of a sense of him just being around you at Build and him at Build. He seemed lovely, but like. The man does not have a grip on this season. It's tough.
I also think this is, you know, he doesn't have a grip on himself. I think Peter needs a lot of emotional work, if you will, before he's ready to kind of make the decisions you need to make to find the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with. And he is clearly not there. He's, you know, acting on sort of impulse. He's second guessing himself. He's got a lot of insecurities. And I think that is really coming through on this season of The Bachelor.
I agree. But at least, you know, he has a really great ghost reenactment of an ad that ran during the Oscars.
I really thought the Oscars would be my one night to escape The Bachelor.
Yeah,
but
it was
no,
like,
no.
Pilot Pete, how dare you follow me here?
Not if it's on ABC.
You yeah, that's
I mean,
true. I know. I didn't consider that
doing
it was
the crossovers.
On ABC.
Yeah.
I also am like, have any of the women on this season, perhaps with the exception of like Natasha and Kelly, seen Ghost, know what Ghost is. Like, this might be a reference that just
have
goes way above
have they ever heard Unchained Melody at yeah. all?
Were they born when Ghost came out? Like,
no.
For real?
I don't think
Hannah
so.
Ann?
No.
When was it?
In the late 80s?
1990.
Oh, like, literally none of these women had been born except for Natasha.
Wow. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So they were like, wow, Peter's making pottery. It's
with
so
his shirt off.
Sexy.
So
yeah.
Hot.
Yeah.
Who is that woman touching him from behind?
It was very look that
they probably
I
know Whoopi. They probably know Whoopi from The View, right? I mean,
yeah,
like,
they know who Whoopi
Goldberg.
Is. I
yeah.
assume they know who Demi Moore is.
Maybe.
Okay, let's dig into this episode. We arrive on a shot of the rolling sand dunes and alpacas all over the beautiful countryside. We're in Lima, Peru, and the women say things like, "Woo! Wow! Peru!
Woo! Lima!"
It's like peak woo girls.
Yeah.
You know, if you've seen How I Met Your Mother, that yeah. episode. That's all
in
I could
fairness,
think about.
They did have to go to Cleveland, and so
I mean, honestly, this is a legitimate
genuine.
Thing to
yeah.
woo about. Like, yeah. I would probably,
I would
woo in Lima, Peru. It looked gorgeous.
It did.
I've never been to Peru, but this made me really want to go.
When in Peru, you must woo.
The alpacas were so cute.
They were. Kelly seemed really interested in just wanting to see the
she
alpacas
seemed
and not
way
much else.
More excited about that than Peter, and I was like, fair. Peter, meanwhile, is doing some very sweet, quality son mother FaceTiming.
Oh, thank God Barb's back. Let me tell you. I missed her. I missed her since the
I'm
first
like,
episode.
I'm worried, though, because I think Peter really does need his mom to direct him.
I feel like they need to fly her
and
out to Lima.
But that's concerning.
Here's my thing about Babs. I
love her.
I like her, and I like her presence, and I love their relationship.
Me
but
too.
Sometimes the content of the words she says don't exactly exude confidence in me. And I don't have, the exact quote or whatever. But some of the things she was saying just was like, okay, I guess that's good advice, but doesn't seem to fit with what's actually happening.
Yeah.
I think she knows that her son is a people pleaser, and that's kind of what she was getting at, but she was saying it in flowery language. You know, she kept being like, be honest with yourself, be honest with your heart. Really, be honest.
Yeah. What I gleaned from this conversation was that he gets his heart fixation from his mother, because the whole time she's just like, follow your heart. What's in your heart? Go with your heart. This family is really all
really
about
into heart.
The heart will go on.
Yeah.
Don't follow your brain, buddy. Just follow something else.
Oh, man.
But yeah, we missed her. Maybe she'll... I'm assuming after we see her screaming, bring her home, she will be coming.
I just can't wait. It's like, I cannot wait for that moment. Yeah. It better...
I hope it's not about Victoria F., but...
I don't think so. Mm. Well, we can get into theories about that.
I have some theories.
So last week, Pete started having some fears. You know, this is the major theme of this episode, is Pete's complete and utter terror of making the wrong decision, which in turn means that he is sort of psyching himself up to make decisions, I think, based on the wrong things.
Yeah, no, his fear of rejection is driving
everything
the season. And I think, you know, when you think about the timing, I think it's just he's still sort of wounded from Hannah Brown.
Absolutely.
And that rejection that he ultimately, faced at the end of that. And I think
watching Hannah pick someone who then was... it was such an error.
Yeah.
It's like those two things combined. He feels personally hurt, and he just saw someone in the role he's taking on make a terrible decision.
Yeah.
And then having Hannah Brown return for his season only triggered his nervous system again sort of put that...
It just set him off on a bad course.
It set him off, and also I think it set a really... It was really hard for me as a viewer to get on board with these other women, because the only connection still... that I've seen that's really that compelling in this season is Pete and Hannah.
Yeah, it's Hannah Brown.
And so I think they did these women and the narrative arc of the season, kind of a disservice by leaning into that.
Well, because even we're seeing that the fact that we're at six women and we still have no idea, like, who most of these women are, It all kicked off with because we were all rooting for Hannah from the beginning.
Yeah, I don't know who they are. I don't know anything about
gave
them.
Up.
I can't believe we're about to be at hometowns.
It's crazy.
But you know, back at the hotel, the women are just sitting around having those a little girl chat, a little forced girl chat. Peter arrives, sits down, and he's like, "I just wanted to be honest. I'm terrified, and so all of you need to address my fears and affirm me." Like, that is essentially what I took away from this.
Just tell me you like me. Tell me you love me.
Don't forget that I am the bachelor. You will all like me.
Bow down.
That's your job. That's why you're here. Yeah, if you don't tell me now and leave.
Right. If you're not 100% certain, you know, I don't want you here, basically.
But at the same time, if you're actually certain and know what you want and do like me and want a relationship
but don't
and all
affirm
those things,
me in the right way.
I will probably send you home. And that is about to happen
If you are right for me, you will go home.
Let me just tell you a little bit about that situation when you're sitting there thinking you're just waiting for a date card and then the lead actually comes in. That happened to me multiple times on my season, and because every time I was like the one guy that wasn't showered and didn't have his hair done or whatever, like, was just like completely like everyone else looks so like manicured and like, you know, well groomed, and I'm just like, why are you getting all dressed up? We're just gonna sit around and the date card's gonna come, we're gonna read it, it's gonna be 2 seconds, and then it's like Desiree would show up
in.
And I'd be like, oh god,
you're like, oh, camera ready, I get it now,
I need to put deodorant on, hold on.
So the women reflect after Pete leaves, and Madison says, you know, marriage is a really, really big deal to me, it's something I do one time. It's very clear that Madison has a very strong sense of what she wants and strong sense of self, but also that a lot of these things haven't necessarily been discussed with Peter.
Also, she definitely has a checklist of things she wants, right? Like, she, you know, there are things that are important to her, things that obviously with her upbringing that she's come to know to be, you know, sort of important in the way, obviously, her relationship with her father and his relationship with their family. But a lot of these things to me seem like things that, you know, to check off the boxes on rather than, you know, I think, you know, what maybe really matters in long term.
Yeah, I think it's tough because especially when you're talking about religion, like there are just things that might simply be incompatible with a person that you like.
Sure.
And it doesn't seem like it seems like her belief system is fairly rigid. And I don't mean that as a criticism, but just in that, like, she knows what she believes and she wants to have a partner who believes those same things. I relate to that. Like, there are certain, you know, worldview beliefs that I have that, like, I don't want to be in conflict over those things with a romantic partner.
No. Right.
And so we'll get more into Madison later, but, like, I found that to be very, very interesting.
Very compelling.
Kelly, just, we get the sense right away that she is not really trying to play this game. She's like, yeah, I get it. Pete's looking for clarity, but we're still getting to know him, and it's hard to give absolute reassurance, and like, I don't want to force things, which very rational.
She's always been rational.
Rational doesn't work in this world.
This episode, she was more like, they kind of twisted her to be the villain in some ways.
Yes, I think she was set up to be that late breaking villain.
Yeah.
I think it was somewhat effective, somewhat totally ineffective. Yeah.
I also think they were probably grooming her in the way the entire time to feel very confident because in what she had to offer as opposed to some of these other women. And I think it did sort of blindside her in the end when, you know, when he chose the other two women. I think she thought there's no chance that he picks both of these women over me on that final 3-on-1 date. And so I think that was all set up, and she was postured to think that she was absolutely taking Peter to meet her family. And then, you know, that's what you have there at the end. And then you have obviously some voiceovers and things that maybe
are unflattering.
Unflattering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or edited.
So Natasha is the only one at this point who hasn't gotten a 1-on-1. But of course, to torture her, the first 1-on-1 goes to Madison.
And I love Natasha. She was like, hello. Hi, my name is Natasha. I haven't been on a 1-on-1 yet. And we're all like, yep,
I like Natasha. Have you met Natasha yet?
I have not.
In the New York crew.
She's in the New York crew.
Yeah, so I'm hoping eventually we'll be able to have her on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
I'd love to meet her.
But also that, you know, that I was Natasha in my season.
Yeah.
You know,
you have a connection.
I had not had the 1-on-1 date until the week before hometowns. And
don't you just kind of know you're going home?
Yeah.
What was your feeling?
No, you know, for me, and this is just,
I guess,
like,
you're so
this is
going to
be bore. I mean, when I was on the show, it was in black and white. So this is probably going to bore a lot of your listeners. But for me, I had come off of a very tumultuous 2-on-1 date. Mm-hmm. And
right.
In Munich, Germany. And so I thought, okay, well, if it's not there with us, I will be sent home the following week, which was in Barcelona. But I still made it beyond Barcelona to Madeira, which is the small island off of Morocco, owned by Portugal. Beautiful island. And
sounds
so
gorgeous.
At that point, I'm like, okay, well, if she really wasn't that into me, even though I was on the 2-on-1, and you know that's sort of the death knell, she would have gotten rid of me last week. She got rid of – we went from 8 to 5. You know, so unlike most seasons where you have 6 before hometowns, we got cut to 5.
Oh, right. You were the only
and
one sent home before.
She cut Juan Pablo. She cut a good friend of mine named Casey as well, who with whom I thought she had a lot of a connection, and a guy named James, who had some drama surrounding him then. But I was like, if it's going from 8 to 5, there's no way I make this. And when I did, it like
then it boosted
I had,
your confidence.
Yeah, all of a
that
sudden I'm like,
oh, maybe
this
she
is,
really likes
yes,
me. Yeah.
Yes, until that 1-on-1 date.
What a good you're name dropping, and I'm like, that was a great season.
Yeah, it was a good season.
That was Brooks too, right?
Brooks got the first 1-on-1 date in Madeira.
And Brooks, I one day would love to have Brooks as on the podcast for a throwback because I know you're friends with him.
Yeah, yeah. I just
his
spoke to him the
other
day.
His arc is fascinating to me on the show.
It was one of the first when that kind of like I remember them just sitting on the edge of that little dock.
Just that like sort of unfiltered,
like,
close-filmed breakup conversation that now we've seen more of. But that was
groundbreaking
time. Yeah, he walked so, you know, Becca and Ari could
exactly.
run.
Exactly. You know, So Madison's 1-on-1 date, the date card says, I think you're a catch. And she just has a lot on her heart, as we alluded to, that she wants to share with Peter. Before this season, I didn't realize, and this is, you know, I'm Jewish, that on my heart is an evangelical euphemism.
Yeah, we were talking about that last night.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that either.
Yes. She said it, and Hannah Ann also said it.
Mm-hmm. And then I did some Googling, and there's been stuff written about it. Is one of these, like, sort of jargony church evangelical phrases.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah. So that's, like, a tip-off just like in terms of her background. Madison meets up with Pete. They're very physically affectionate towards each other immediately, mm-hmm. which I found quite notable.
Yes.
They do the run and jump. He shows off his new scar.
He was just like, look, my bandages are off. Look. And she's like, great. How does it look?
I mean,
oh, it
like
looks
you still
great.
Have a gash on your head. Like,
he said that so often. Doesn't it just show
the
you
whole,
that he's just
he's
like,
so
he
nervous.
Just
that's what
wants
I mean.
Validation.
So
like, please tell me that
he's
I
like,
look
tell
okay.
Tell me my face is still
tell
perfect.
Me my
again,
face is
affirm
tell
me.
I look,
tell me that you still like me with the scar on my head. It just like.
Wait, Madison didn't wrap her legs around him, though, on the.
That's true. There were fewer leg wrappings.
He must have sensed that maybe it was his scar.
But
that
maybe
is.
He was leg just wrapping's not on her heart.
The entire date, he was enveloped over, just wrapped around her. And it was such a contrast in the Natasha date later on.
Well, this is a theme. Like, she is someone who immediately showers him with validation. She makes him feel very good about himself.
Mm-hmm.
He relies on external validation to feel good about himself. And Madison is one of the girls who, you know, sort of almost seemingly unconditionally makes him feel good about himself.
Well, they seem like the only two that, to me, they have kind of the most natural
connection.
Chemistry.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we saw that pretty early on, and they seem to have a genuinely good time with each other. I think there are other reasons that they are not right for each other long term.
Right.
But.
Which we
kind of
just discovered this episode.
Right. Which
we hadn't known.
Episode.
Yeah.
Well, the show has become a show. Well, it probably always has to an extent, but more so now about chemistry over like real feelings that will stand the test of time, right? Mm-hmm. And if this is a chemistry barometer, like certainly Madison is leading the race.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. So they go fishing. They go and sit on a boat and they cheers and, you know, talk about how Madison doesn't want Peter to be afraid, which, again, total turn on for him that he's getting affirmed. And, you know, Pete says, once I start to give my heart, like, there's no going back. And they acknowledge that they're both scared, but Maddie really, again, affirms him and says,
yep.
I'm serious. I'm here for you. I really like you. I see a future with you. It's everything Peter needs to hear.
So. Yes, and that's immediately when he was like, I'm definitely falling in love with this girl.
And he's like, it's time to do my signature horizontal makeout on whatever flat surface is available.
This time the boat.
Yes.
He's got his flippy floppies.
Yeah. So we cut back to the hotel.
As they're kissing, we cut back to the hotel.
And of course, at first, during this date, it seems like Hannah Ann and Kelsey were appointed to be the ones sitting back home discussing. The later date, it's Victoria F. and Kelly.
Yeah.
Right.
Who are forced into this
again,
role.
Nice to see Kelsey and Hannah Ann just like let the drama
go. It's like Champagne Gate never happened.
Yeah. Teach us about supporting other women.
And this is where we get the first indications that Madison might have something big to talk to Peter about. And I found it really interesting that Kelsey was the first one to address Madison's religiosity and her upbringing and how that's really important to her. Because clearly this is something that the women have discussed amongst mm-hmm. themselves. It's also, we often get allusions to faith, but I think the show has gotten, I think Hannah's B season probably pushed this forward, but it's gotten a little more comfortable addressing religion a little bit more head on. For a long time, it felt like the show ultimately kind of loves to exist in this world where like political values don't really matter, religious values don't really matter beyond this really amorphous general concept of faith, and mm-hmm. all faith is sort of the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Kelsey says, you know, Madison wants her husband to be, quote, a faith leader for the family. And she's very religious, and that's very important to her. And that Kelsey knows Madison hasn't talked to Peter about her deal breakers. Yeah. I was like, wow, this is the first we're hearing of this. And it's interesting that the women have talked about this.
Yeah, because clearly Maddie's telling them more about what's important to her than she's telling Peter, because she hasn't really...
She's spending more time with him, to be fair.
Yeah, she hasn't really seen Peter either since
their
first one-on-one date. So when would she have actually had the time to sit down and talk about the things that actually matter to her?
Well, they did have that time, right, when everyone was yelling inside, that they had that, like, nice time, and then he heard all the screaming that was going on inside.
Yeah, with McKenna.
Yeah, last week.
But yeah, it was interesting. And it brings up that whole, what you mentioned about how the show doesn't necessarily ever address people's political beliefs and how they feel about religion. Maybe they'll say, I'm religious, I go to church. Woo, move on.
That can mean a lot of different things.
Yeah, but yeah, Hannah B., especially with Luke P. and everything that happened last season, kind of cracked that open a little bit more.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing, I guess.
Yeah, and maybe, I think this is going to play out for the rest of the
maybe
season.
Maybe eventually
I just
we'll
have
get
a
someone
sense.
Who, like, wants to talk politics a little bit.
Can you imagine
you got,
on
you
a
got
date?
Some allusions to that during Rachel's season. There were little comments.
Mm-hmm.
But
Rachel also went to church on her season too, right? Was
yes.
it one of her?
She took
she cracks everything open. So then
Maddie,
we get to the night portion of Maddie's date.
And she's ready because mm-hmm. Pete is just so real, so vulnerable, so raw. Have you ever described someone you're dating to your friends?
I think she was just describing his forehead scar.
Really raw.
That's why it's raw.
It's vulnerable.
I just really don't think I've ever...
It's unbandaged.
...been like, I need to give a compliment to my new boyfriend. I just love how raw he is.
Yeah, like, do you sit down with your friends and, like, talk about who you're dating? Like, they're raw. They're super raw.
No, that's very weird. I also am unclear about what that actually means.
That they're vegan?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I literally now cannot stop thinking about Peter's raw scar on his forehead because of what Michael said.
Yeah.
Gosh.
But yeah, she tells Pete that she's glad that they had this day. Again, this process has been hard, but she sees a future with him.
She launches in
yes.
to,
and
she clearly has been nervous. To
she's
talk
like,
about that.
Yeah, she's kind chatting of babbling, through it before she throws it out there.
But she just sort of in one continuous breath, tells him, you know, what we were talking about before, that her family's her whole world.
Absolutely.
She's watched the way her dad has loved her mom and her family, and the way that he has such a, quote, strong relationship with the Lord. And she says, faith is my whole life. It's who I am, and I want, and what I want is in a marriage is someone who also has that relationship with the Lord and wants to raise a family that way. Mm-hmm. And that's a very intense thing to say, like not in a bad way, but that is really clear.
That's a lot more than I am Christian and I need someone who wants to raise our children Christian.
Right.
You know, like that, you know, this is way beyond that.
She's evangelical.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
my understanding. And that, and she is incredibly involved in that faith. And it determines the way, it determines her values, her family structure, like all of these things. And so that's a hard thing to overcome if you're dating someone who does not share that.
Yeah. And we get a long pause from Pete.
Which, fair. He's taking it in.
And I think he's trying to figure out what to say.
Because he really likes her.
He does. And he clearly, he wants to tell her that, yes, well, I'm slightly religious. I'm Christian. I haven't, like, really been connected to my faith, though. My faith isn't strong.
But I'm open to that. And I believe all of that.
I do believe that.
He wants to please her in a sense, too.
Yes.
You know, he wants to be, I mean, I think he was honest, but he also, you know, he obviously
wants to. He wants her to stick around.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. He likes her. He has a connection with her.
I think he really likes her, and I think he was struggling.
More so than anyone else, I think. Yeah.
I totally agree. And I think he was, I think in his heart of hearts, he's not that guy. Mm-hmm. He's not the guy that. And maybe that can change, and maybe he is truly open to making those pretty substantial, from what I'm reading, the way he's talking about his relationship to religion, that there would need to be some pretty substantial shifts made.
Maybe he's not that guy at 28, but he could be that guy at 38. You don't know, but he's certainly not the faith leader of a family at this stage in his life.
It also just made me think, like, why couldn't Madison be the faith leader
of her
family?
Yeah, why can't she?
And, like, I'm sure that's partly just my ignorance about the way certain church communities are organized, but I was like, damn, that's kind of sad that, like, couldn't she do it?
Also, miss one thing I wanted to bring up, which was an amazing editing moment in the episode, which was when Madison is on the boat, sort of standing in front of Peter, and has his arms wrapped around her, and they're like kind of kissing and enjoying, like having this sort of Titanic moment, I guess, out in front of near the bow of the boat. And Kelsey is doing the voiceover and talking about Madison and saying how deeply religious she is, and it cuts to the next words out of Madison's mouth are, "Oh God." Which was really kind of amazing. Like, I don't
they
know.
They do so many cheeky things.
That was cheeky, yeah. Worth a rewind,
for
sure.
This is why I wish I got screeners, because I wish I could watch these episodes multiple times before we recap, because I always miss stuff.
That's a good point. I completely missed that.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
So that was
powerful
good,
edit.
That was a good
But yeah, she seems to be setting... I mean, if they end up together, you are basically telling him who he needs to be in the relationship and what she expects.
And you know what?
Clearly
respect
he's not
her
comfortable
for being honest.
Yeah.
Like, I think that I like when I go, you know, have been on first dates, second dates, like, I like to get political and religious things,
like
at least
should.
The basics out there
pretty
early, because those are things
that
they're make or break.
Can be very make or break.
And this is something, I mean, what she said is, like I said, is so beyond just like what is your religion that you practice.
Right.
Yeah. This is something that, you know, not everyone is going to be able to fill that role.
No.
And as we discussed, I don't think Peter can fill that role either, but this is clearly the person he likes the most, has the strongest feelings for, and he desperately needs her to stick around, especially after what he told the women earlier in the episode about, you know, his fears and everything else. If Madison were to leave because he cannot be this faith leader that she needs him to be, he would be devastated. The season would come to an end, I think.
I kind of get a sense, though, that Madison's going to be what this dramatic finale that we're kind of heading to is.
I wondered about that too. I mean,
he's the windmill guy too. You have to expect that like Madison's dad knows about Peter and kind of what, you know what I mean? So that's going to be a whole thing.
Odd. I mean, we saw a preview.
She's saving herself from
marriage. Right, a promo she is, you know, not having sex before marriage, which again, fully valid to make whatever choices you want. It's your body. But I do think that given what we know about Peter and the fact that that's not a value that he holds, it is a little bit interesting to me that she seems to expect him to then abstain from physical intimacy, which
is so important. He talks about it all the time.
He's been very clear that that's something that's really important to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
which is also fair. Like, this is, these are two people expressing desires that are very fair.
Yeah.
I just don't get the sense that they're long-term compatible.
Well, you don't have to force the square peg into the round hole, right? Like, if you're just not incompatible, you can both be wonderful people. Yeah, no pun intended. You could be two wonderful people there and just be incompatible.
Right.
And this is the first sign of that. And obviously, if she is going to sort of make him feel guilty or shame him if he does have sex on the overnights with one of the other women or both of the other women or who knows, that's going to be a problem, you know?
It's not quite fair.
It's not fair, and it just shows, you know, that they want different things.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, but for now it seems sort of papered over. They have both said enough platitudes to satisfy the other.
Yeah.
Madison's like, I want someone who wants to get better and who values faith and family, and I guess that's Peter. And so Pete says it would be an honor to meet Maddie's family, gives her the rose, and she's safe.
We're also in a world of relativity here, a universe of relativity. And for Peter, he clearly prefers Madison to the other women. And for Madison, she has no other choice.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's Peter or
true.
No one. Well, so they are like, what do I have here? And
the stakes get so high because you're
big
operating
fish,
in
small
a
pond, small pond. You know, to go off of this fishing metaphor
that
there.
When,
operating in a scarcity economy.
When he says he's falling in love with her and she just sits and says nothing back. That's exactly what you're saying right there. Is just
right. Oh my gosh, how did I almost forgot that he tells her
he's falling in love with her
and she doesn't even respond in kind because he sort of says it at the beginning and then she talks to him about her religious beliefs.
Which to me is also like it also makes me think about like where I was in my relationship at that time with Desiree before Hometowns, and like there was and I love you was not even like in my vocabulary like at that moment. So it's just funny that
I wonder if the pressure has increased to say it earlier.
Yeah.
It feels like it's
but
being
it's interesting
said
that it's him saying it. Do you know what I mean? Like
it's very interesting.
Usually you get the girl. Like I think Kelsey's kind of told him that she's falling, and Hannah Ann.
You know what's interesting about
it? But Maddie
is
nowhere near that. He's there, but she's not.
I was told, I was once told by someone, like, you cannot tell someone that you love them in order to get a response.
Yes.
You need to say it because, and I think that was great advice, you need to say it because that's how you're feeling.
No expectations, yes. Yeah.
I felt like Pete was saying it to get a response.
Yes, of course, because he wants that validation.
Right. Yeah.
He,
exactly.
He needs that validation, particularly from the girl that is scaring him the most.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's obvious, like this head wound that he has is a metaphor for this entire season. It is not fully healed. It could be reopened.
This season is wounded.
It could be reopened. I mean, it is at any time. Like maybe the Band-Aid is off, but he is not fully healed.
But you're like, Peter, you have the power. You're the one that is like, you know, making decisions. This is your journey. And he's kind of reverting back to how he felt probably on Hannah's season.
But it is refreshing to see a lead that is so aware that this is that it's a two-way street. That is kind
that's
of
true.
Nice.
There
that's are
true.
Some
I do
leads
like that.
Who are like, I am the king of the castle. It
that's
is up
a good
to
point.
Me.
Yeah.
You know, I will club you over the head and drag you by the hair back to my cave. And Peter is very much not like that. Yeah. Peter is very almost too sensitive to the fact that he could be dumped.
I agree.
Again, Jed trauma. It's the Jed trauma.
It's the Jed trauma. Mm-hmm. So let's move on to Natasha's.
Head trauma and Jed trauma. Yeah.
Let's move on to Natasha's one-on-one. Given how obviously not into it Peter was, there's not like actually a ton to kind of dig into, but I really like Natasha.
I like
And poor Natasha has to follow Madison, a woman who Peter has just said he's falling in love with.
Right.
And he's never even spent alone time with her.
Right.
So she's really operating at a deficit here. They do kiss and she does the jog and jump, but he's so much less touchy with her. It does feel really kind of friend vibe.
The entire lead-in to his date with Natasha is spent
saying,
discussing Madison and how strongly he feels
I was
for
like,
her.
Poor,
and
it's like she is DOA. That's how I felt.
Look, I can't
even
imagine, you know, navigating the New York City dating scene is a nightmare. But could you, like, I also know if you go on a date the night before with someone, you're like, wow, I'm crazy about this person and I feel like a strong connection. and it's a second or third or fourth or fifth or whatever date. No, New York, you don't get up to a fourth date. But it's a third date with someone.
Yeah.
And then the next day you have a first date with someone and you're just kind of, you just like,
oh, it's done.
I would cancel. I would be like, I'm sorry. I need to go walk my dog and condition my hair.
Yeah, you're like, I don't care. I don't care to invest in this anymore.
Put deodorant on.
Yeah,
you know?
I think I have the coronavirus. Whatever, I would say something to get out of that date because I wouldn't be able to be there like, present mentally and physically, you know, like I just wouldn't.
Pete, oh, and you see that
Pete cannot emotionally get enough for this day at all.
No.
And Natasha is so excited because she sees today as, you know, finally she's getting a chance to kind of deepen this connection. Clearly they have had some sort of chemistry.
Yeah.
And I listened to Deandra on Rachel and Becca's podcast, and she was saying that Natasha was actually one of the women in the house that everyone could sense that Pete liked her. So clearly they had a chemistry.
But it's definitely friend vibes.
Yeah, I think it's definitely friend vibes.
He enjoys being around her.
They explore the city. She makes jokes. He laughs. You know, back at the house, Kelsey and Hannah Ann are like, we don't want Natasha to come back. Okay, great. And then Pete is like, Natasha, you've shown me more sides of you than any other woman. Which, what does that mean?
Yeah, I just don't know. Yeah. You're bold, you're fierce, you're honest. You're almost too honest.
He's like, that translated to me and like, I'm uncomfortable with the fact that you expressed your displeasure with me when I made decisions that pissed you off.
Again, you need to affirm me.
He's basically saying you are a whole person.
Yeah, you're a complete human.
You could actually be a partner for someone. You're not just looking to fill a void in your, you know, broken, empty life like the rest of us.
And I say, you know, I say I'm looking for that kind of person. But to be honest, Natasha, I'm not. I'm not.
And she says, you know, the last guy she dated broke up with her because, and he said she was too intense, which I resent and I feel for her. And I was like, girl, you're dating in New York. I get it. It's probably rough. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of like, I like that about The Bachelor because I can be really fucking intense.
Yeah.
Which is true.
Yeah.
She stands out.
Yeah. And, you know, but it just seems really
clear.
It's
like camping. Everyone is intense.
Yeah. Everyone's very intense.
Dad jokes over here.
Yeah. I mean, Michael's a king of dad jokes.
I've got a lot of dad jokes. I am a dog dad.
I think she scares him a little bit, too, when she mentions she has three older brothers, that if Peter came home to her hometown, they would definitely grill him.
And he also just knows she's not the one.
Yeah.
So why
bother? So he's like, why even put myself in that position?
Yeah. Back at the hotel, we see that Kelsey is going to get the last one-on-one date, which means that the final date is a 3-on-1 between Kelly, Victoria F., and Hannah Ann.
What a crew.
Yeah. So we go back to Natasha's date, and Pete is like, I don't take hometowns lightly. Again, you know that this is just gearing up to a breakup the whole time. Natasha's wearing a great off-the-shoulder top.
I know. And Natasha seems like she really is talking to him about how she can see them together, and she really likes him, and the whole time we all know at home, like, you're going home. You have to know you're going home, right?
But how much did you love when she punted to him and was like, hey, I can say all these things, but I need someone who feels those things about me, too.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Yeah. Right.
And he's like, I like you.
It was telling also that contrast his conversations with Madison and with his conversation with Natasha, he punted right away. He was like, you know, how are you feeling about us? You know, like basically that is code for we both know that this is not heading to like an engagement or romantic love, but I want to hear you say it first to make me feel a little less guilty about what I'm about to do, which is probably going to be to end things. And so she also qualifies her statements with, well, when I do get to see you, I feel this, this, and this, and these are all positive things. However, I think, you know, she's probably self-aware enough to know that you know, that feeling doesn't last beyond when they're actually physically in the same location and together and talking, you know?
Yeah, I really liked, though, that Natasha said things like, you know, I believe that our lives could line up, but also I'm suspended here until you know how this plays out.
Yeah.
Like, she is a good, she just has a good head on her shoulders, a good sense of how this is and is not like real life, and she kind of speaks to that directly. I was like, oh, right, you've lived 10 more years on this earth than Hannah Ann. Like, yeah. And it shows in moments like this.
No, it does. Yeah. It's not about age. It's just, right. It's just about experience.
Life experience. Yeah. And that's not a criticism at all. And no. I think some people can be hyper mature very young.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But sometimes just actual lived experiences and having the time to have those experiences makes a difference.
Sure does. Yeah.
No, I agree.
But yeah, Peter tries to basically get her to send herself home before he has to do it.
Yeah.
But and he does it.
It's interesting, you know, the structure of this, the week before Hometowns Now, as opposed to when I was on the show, you know, when I was on the show, you did not have the rose on the one-on-ones. You had a rose ceremony that, you know, ultimately, you know, and so it was a lot different. So after the one-on-one, you know, you didn't know if you were staying or going, and I guess like at that point you probably think, oh, if I had any sort of a good time with the person, I'm probably getting, you know, and I'm not on the 3-on-1 or 2-on-1, I'm probably taking him or the lead home with me to meet my family.
Mm-hmm. We do hear then Pete acknowledge in a voiceover that he just feels like Natasha has the qualities he wants, but they have a friendship,
mm-hmm.
which. Fair enough. So he picks up the rose, holds it in her face.
He does that a lot. He's always like, here's a rose.
And he says, I owe you all the honesty you've given me. And she immediately knows. Yeah. She's like, she's smart. She's a smart woman.
He's either going to knight them with the rose or slap them across the face with it.
And so he just comes out and says it. And at least I appreciated him for being honest and not mincing words and just saying, I can't give you the rose.
Yes. Yeah.
And she says, that's too bad. Pete again does the thing where he's like, I know what you have to offer someone else. You're amazing, which is his thing. And I know he means it well, but it really grates on me.
Mm-hmm.
And then Natasha says something kind of great. She says, I really do hope you find what you're looking for. I know I will.
Yep.
That's
because
really,
again,
it's good.
Self-assured, self-aware.
Yeah. And she posted something really sweet on Instagram and about how like she really had a great time with him. Mm-hmm. And it seemed, you know. There seems to be a sweetness.
Yeah,
there.
Their breakup was friendly.
Yeah, and I think at this point, at this juncture, I remember my breakup at that point was very friendly. I said the same thing. You know, I happened to really like the guys who were remaining. So I said, you know, you have all great choices, you know, remaining, and, you know, I hope you blah, 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 you know, and we'll be friends. You know, it was kind of like, and we'll, you know, we'll always be friends. And I had a great time. It was so nice getting to know you kind of thing. And I think that is what.
And you're
Natasha
still friendly
did.
With. Des and Chris.
I'm
right?
very friendly. Chris. I mean, Chris and Brooks were my two best friends in that experience. I mean, I was also good friends with Zach, Drew, Juan Pablo, like a lot of the guys. But still very close with, you know, to the extent that every time I would go to Seattle, I would stay with Desiree and Chris.
Oh my God, I love it so much.
And I went to their wedding.
Have you met their like cute little baby boys?
Well,
They're so sweet.
I haven't met the newest one, but I know I've met Asher. He's adorable, and he's going to be.
They're just also beautiful and tall.
I know. And they just moved from Seattle to Portland, so now I have to go visit Portland at some point. I've never been to Oregon.
Aww. I hear Portland's cool.
Yeah,
I've
that's
never
where Chris
been
is from. That's where he's from originally. Yeah. And they're doing super well. Yeah.
Look at this guy here to make friends.
I love it. I know.
I've made a lot of friends.
Yeah, Michael is perfect for this show. That's why we continue to have him back. We're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, we break down a whole lot more from episode 7 of The Bachelor. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/love to see it today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/love to see it. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes. There's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
allomoves.com, code LTSI20. One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
And now back to the show.
Meanwhile, you know, Pete is just reflecting. We get that classic shot of him holding the rose, sadly and somberly, like looking out over a balcony, reflecting on his life decisions and how he's ended up there. And then we're back to the women. And Victoria seems a little bit shaken by Natasha's exit. I guess they had been roommates. Yeah. And I know that who you room with ends up determining a lot of your closeness to people.
Sure.
And meanwhile, Kelsey is getting ready for her date, and she's sort of freaked out. She's like, well, she could send Natasha home.
He could send me home. Yeah.
Kelsey meets up with Pete in the countryside. It looked genuinely
it
very gorgeous.
It so pretty. This date looked really fun, too.
It did.
Yeah.
ATVs, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're in a field. They go ATVing, and Kelsey's hair stays perfect somehow.
She always looks beautiful.
How do you get? Mine doesn't do that.
She was Miss Iowa.
Help me.
I know. It's true. When you're when you're into pageants, you probably get a lot of time like learning how to style.
I know.
And
she threw that out again this episode. I totally forgot that she was one of the pageant girls.
I know, because there's so many women who have been involved in pageants that it's kind of hard to keep track of.
I still can't believe Kelsey's still around after everything that happened with Champagne Gate and all that, but hey.
A great recovery by Kelsey.
Her one-on-one time with
Peters. She's the oldest one left now.
Yeah.
Is that true?
She's 28.
Oh, wow.
Basically dead. Yeah.
He's got one.
Yeah, the same age as Peter, which is a real death knell.
But they go ATVing. She seemed a little nervous at first, but
I would be too. They're like on a cliff.
Yeah, but it looked fun.
It looked really fun.
It looked great.
This date was awesome. And then Peter just decides to like sprint up a mountain and then seems very shocked that he is out of breath.
Yeah. I think it was, again, another excuse for him to lay horizontal and find somewhere to make out.
He's always playing the field.
Nick put a little sound effect in there.
She kept up with him, I would say. You know, she did pretty well.
Oh, she wasn't out of breath.
She was great. She was fine.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, my scar aches. I must sit down.
Peter's like, so this is the moment when neither of us can breathe that I really want to dig into what you want in a family.
Yeah.
So can you just outline that vision
for me real quick? Can I just catch my breath real quick? Just tell me how you'd be as a mom. And this whole thing,
I know you have some. Let's go through this, but I know you have some strong feelings and thoughts as a mother yourself. I'm sure you were surprised to learn that as a working mother, you are not involved in your child's life and you haven't
raised
her.
No, I do not raise my daughter. Yeah. No.
So, you know, Kelsey says, in terms of family, I would like to be able to work a couple days a week, but also be at home because, quote, it's important to raise your kids and be at home with them. She wants to be involved with her kids' lives, but still have something for her. I guess like a few day part-time work, a passion project. Again, totally understand that. And we spoke a little bit about this, the three of us, before we started recording. But I want to be clear that, like, I have nothing against people who make the choice and have the financial ability to stay home with their children for a period of time, for a long period of time, who are able to find part-time work. You know, it's hard to find part-time jobs.
Well, that was my thing here. It was just, you know, I want to work a few days a week. And that's not, it's just, there's not part-time jobs out there. It's not that easy to find a part-time job unless you want to be like a mommy influencer, which maybe that's what she sees that she would be, where she could.
And great for you if that's what you want to do. I think what bothered me about this exchange was her saying, this royal your, like, it's important to raise your kids, and that is done by staying at home with them.
AKA, we all must raise our kids also, like, by being home. Which
also, only the moms. There would seem to be no suggestion that, you know, Peter should be involved and raising his kids.
My father stayed home with me as an infant. My mom went back to work, and my dad was, you know, got injured. He was a cop, and he stayed home for 2 years. With me. It's all about balance. And my whole thing is...
And it's all about what is your situation?
Yeah, I would love to stay home and raise my daughter when she's this young. And it's hard. Like, I love my job, too. And I love having something for me and coming to work every day. But it's also hard to leave your one-year-old daughter at home with someone else when you want to be the one who's there to care for her, at least in these first few years of her life before she starts full-time school. But it's complicated. I get it. If I had, you know, all the money in the world, I probably would stay home.
Do some freelance work.
Exactly. Find something for me.
Right. And that's the other thing that I think it's important to note is, like, a lot of families do not have the luxury if, you know, if there are two parents contributing to that child's care financially, like, often there is not an option to not work.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot of there's a lot that goes into that decision, and I think whatever decision someone makes for whatever reason they make it is fantastic, but it's good also to stay away from generalities about what is important to do as a parent and what you should do and what it means to be properly involved in your kids' lives. I mean,
No, it seemed like she was sort of pontificating there about, you know, what is the right thing to do for everyone and what everyone should be doing and sort of.
And that's where you get into tricky territory.
But, you know, Peter's a pilot, so he's going to be flying all over. He doesn't have, he's not going to be home with the kids, you know?
No.
He can't expect it. He can't be expected to do that.
I mean,
he's got to fly to Cleveland.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look. The men don't need to be involved in their kids' lives.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
Who needs that?
My husband didn't stay home yesterday when my nanny called out sick. Are you crazy?
No. He's it's all about balance for him, and it doesn't include staying home
with
your daughter.
Yeah, my life is about making my husband's life much more comfortable.
Obviously.
No, shout out to my amazing husband, who is an equal partner in parenthood. Equal partner.
Who'd have thunk?
You know, we've come a long way.
He got hosed.
We've come a long way.
So during the
is he a faith leader?
I mean, is he holding the umbrella of your family?
He's holding the umbrella over my family every step of the way.
Oh. Ella.
Hey. Exactly. So we get a little clip where I thought this was interesting. Victoria F. and Kelly are discussing whether Kelsey's going to get the rose. And Kelly seems to have a really good sense of how much Kelsey and Pete are into each other. Victoria's like, you know, I could see it going either way. And Kelly's like, no, I'd be real surprised if she leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And she's right.
Mm-hmm. She always is.
Kelsey has things during the night portion, like Madison, that she wants to talk to Peter about.
Mm-hmm.
And she really sees a future with him. I was worried about her smoky eye. She starts tearing up on camera. I'm like, Kelsey, your makeup is so good.
But she admitted way back when she's a crier. That's what she does.
Oh, and I relate. Yep. I understand.
But yes, her makeup did look very good. I was worried for it.
So Peter asks about her family. He's like, wow, what a great and not at all emotional day we've had together. That's so fun.
All now, about the fun, Pete.
I assume that will continue into tonight. No, but Pete hates fun.
No, he hates fun. Yeah, that's why I was laughing when he was like, it was so fun. But you hate fun, Peter, don't you?
So Peter asks about her family, and clearly this is something that Kelsey's been gearing up to. She says, you know, her mom's really sweet and will go above and beyond and makes really great chocolate chip cookies.
But then she says, cookies that are really good, but I don't know if you'll like them. And then I was like, wait, you don't support your mother's cooking, clearly.
Wait, I missed that.
Again, though, she always...
That's very confusing.
She always has these confusing statements when she says someone's so sweet, but then calls them a bitch in the same breath. So, Kelsey, she's not sure what she believes.
No.
The cookies are good, but Peter might not like them.
And she tells Peter, you know, my dad will not be there at hometowns. My parents got divorced when I was in seventh grade. Kelsey, and apparently some of this has been spoken about before because Peter says, oh, you didn't speak to your dad for 10 years, right? And she says, yeah, you know, he reached out after I won Miss Iowa, but there were red flags there. And he was kind of excusing his past poor behavior by saying that, like, God told him to do things. And she, you know, she kind of drew a line and did not rekindle that relationship. Mm-hmm. But a year ago, she got a text from her dad, and they ended up talking. And her mom doesn't know now that she is kind of more regularly in touch with her dad. And I thought she gave a really good explanation for this. You know, she says, I wanted to be able to, like, as an adult, make decisions about whether I want to have this person in my life, and I wanted to kind of protect that. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's you have to assume that she went home and was like, Mom, I have to give you a heads up.
Now she knows.
Yeah. Now the whole world knows.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, she also wanted to set Pete up to be like, things might get awkward.
And like, please don't bring my father up during hometowns if you come home.
She apparently has sisters too, right? And they don't know either, so...
Or I thought she said only her sisters do know.
Oh, they do know.
Or like
her
they
mom
did, they didn't know at first, but now they do know. Yeah. It's a little confusing. But yeah, clearly this will be something that will be addressed more next week. And Pete says, you know, I can't put myself in your shoes, but I think it's really beautiful that you're willing to give your father a second chance. And that really is inspiring to him.
Everything's inspiring to this guy, man.
And then he gave this sort of weird backhanded compliment that kind of bothered me where he says, it's just obvious to me that you know what you want despite the fact that you had that. I'm like, okay, I get that trauma can inform things, but also, Pete, you don't seem to know what the fuck you want and your parents are
happily
obsessed
married.
With each other.
No, if you're a child of divorce... You don't want to get married ever, right? Like, you're done. You don't believe in marriage.
It's just an odd generalization, I think. You know, people have different reactions to different tough things.
Yeah.
Right.
And, like, maybe that would make her not know what she wants or be nervous about certain things, but maybe it would make her strengthen what she wants. Like, you just don't know. It depends on the person.
Maybe it would, maybe it would provide some clarification as to what she should be looking for.
Exactly.
Having, you know, had parents that have gotten divorced and you see what you don't want. Mm-hmm.
It just always bothers me the way this show seems to put a premium on or, like, suggest that your parents' marriage, like, predetermines your ability to want marriage or be ready for marriage or have a healthy marriage. Because it's just not true.
Well, because didn't we see that towards the beginning of the season two where people were like, my grandparents have been married for 60 years.
Yeah.
So that means I'm ready to get married.
Give me that rose.
Yeah. But yeah, Kelsey doesn't want to settle. She wants to find... she wants to be somebody's equal, and she wants to find qualities that match hers. And Pete has a lot of these qualities.
I feel like they both check certain boxes for each other, and they have this mutual need to be affirmed and adored. But I don't know that I see their relationship built on much else. Like, I think they have a chemistry there, and Kelsey has kind of grown on me. She does seem to know what she wants, but I'm just – there's something that feels off between the two of them.
They both kind of want this, like, storybook romance. But they're not really looking at the bigger picture. I love how Peter, too, is like, we're doing this our way. And I'm like, well, yes, every relationship you do your way.
He said that about a couple.
Also, like, what is that? No, also, you're literally not doing it your way because you are on a show where the way is scripted.
He's like, this is unconventional.
Like,
yes, it is.
But also not that unconventional because this show's been on since 2002.
Yeah, 20 years.
So.
Yeah. There's definitely an attraction there between the two of them, obviously, and they have that. And, you know, obviously they get along. But, I don't feel I don't feel that I'm as invested in them as a couple.
Mm-hmm. The Maddie passion, I don't feel it.
Yeah. So Pete grabs the rose and is like, I'm very excited about us. And I enjoyed our deep conversation tonight even more than I enjoyed rolling around in a field with you. So let's go to Iowa.
Woo! Woo!
There's just not enough.
Plenty of fields in Iowa.
Yeah. There's plenty of fields, but not enough strength and grace in the world, which she has in abundance.
Yes. Amen.
There's so many, like, and then Kelsey's like, Peter isn't running for the hills. Too many hills references for me.
But also, like, she's like, wow, I'm going to give this guy a gold star for not dumping me because my father did some shitty things.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, the bar is so low for men.
He accepts me and my absentee father. It's incredible. It inspires
him.
What a
fucking prince that guy is.
Yeah, and it inspires him to, I don't know. What does it inspire you to do, Peter?
Just general inspiration.
So back at the hotel, a date card arrives. And of course, it's for Hannah Ann, Victoria, and Kelly. Tomorrow won't be easy. It sure won't, Pete.
It's just right to the point.
And this is when we get some great comments from, like, Kelly, who basically says that Victoria F. and Hannah Ann are children. And
look, I can't totally disagree with her.
I can't either. They're trying to make her the villain, but what she's saying is facts.
I think she's been living with these people that she feels are just want none of the same things as her, have none of the same, lead none of the same kind of life mm-hmm. as she does. And it just feels like she's kind of reached her boiling point a little bit.
And what Peter's saying, what he wants, is what Kelly
is what
feels
she
like she is.
But so, the problem is Peter doesn't know what he wants.
No, he doesn't.
It's also funny, like, you know, normally you get the date card, right? And it says something, you know, about catch or whatever. And like, oh, we're probably going to go fishing or whatever. And this is like, you know, tomorrow's not going to be easy.
Get ready for a really unfun day.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's you know, none of them were like, oh, maybe we have to do Rubik's Cubes in like 3 minutes or less, or like free solo a rock formation, or, you know, right away they're just like, oh, yeah, it's going to be hard because, you know, one of us going home.
Yeah, it gets chilly in Peru at night, so we're going to be cold and sitting waiting for a decision. It's going to be difficult. So yeah, Hannah Ann is nervous. Victoria F. is nervous. Kelly, however, is just confident as can be. They have her set up, as we said earlier. She's confident. She thinks she's staying. There's no doubt in her mind.
Yeah, she's like, Hannah Ann just isn't in the right phase of her life, and Victoria is always breaking down and crying. She's a hot mess. To me, it sounded like some of these mean Kelly comments, and I don't doubt that Kelly has it in her to be mean. We all do. But some of them sounded a little bit like Frankenbites to me. Like that sentence in particular felt like two different sentences spliced mm-hmm. together. I sensed a pause, and none of this commentary happens to camera. It's all in voiceover, which means that it's a lot easier to edit, pull from other conversations. Obviously, so much of the show is created that way. And maybe that is, you know, she was saying that about Victoria. But I don't know. There was something in the editing that felt a little off to me.
Mm-hmm.
They're really trying to make her be the villain.
Yeah. Splice some things together.
There's a distinct lack of run and jump happening mm-hmm. on this date. Like, there's no excitement. The women, like, very somberly approach Pete. And
I could never run and jump on any man.
It would be weird to run and jump with two other people on the date with
you.
Because then it's like, you feel like, oh, I have to one-up that jump. You know, they got, you know, about 7 inches off the ground.
Legs around
I'm gonna
harder.
Get, like, 14.
I really gotta straddle him higher up on the waist.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotta jump onto his shoulders.
He's an acrobat, that Peter.
But I also think, so the stuff with Kelly, I think they are also trying to set up just like how confident she is that, you know, there's no chance that, you know, if two roses are being given out on this day that she's not getting at least one of them, not getting one of them, obviously,
at least
one of them. Yeah. Not getting one of them. And so that the foreshadowing is there. And then obviously when she doesn't, then it's all the more surprising and devastating.
They love to build people up right before they go.
I mean,
it's at this point, it's just a tell. Like, it's not even effective because it felt so contrived. Like, oh, they're letting her say all this stuff because she's leaving.
Right.
Yeah.
But Pete is, you know, takes them to some hacienda, the loving land.
Yeah.
And the guy who owns it, it's a family business, has been married for 36 years. And Pete's like, that's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's love.
That's love. And so I was like, well, then it's, yeah, you'll probably choose a woman who's only been alive for a fraction of those 36 years.
How can it be the Loving Land without any windmills anywhere to be seen? I don't know.
We haven't seen a windmill in a while.
Okay, so apparently, and I missed this, but I guess it must have been during one of the exploration dates. I guess there was a shot of Peter just staring at some paintings, and one of them was of windmills. Someone pointed this out on Twitter. Again, this is why I need to watch the show multiple times and not be taking notes.
It's clever. Yeah.
But that was...
That's very
clever. So many clever edits. That.
Or it's a Don Quixote moment, you know, who knows.
So yeah, Pete pulls Hannah Ann first. Who is always, she's always crying now. She's very emotional.
I'm sorry, I don't buy it.
Yeah.
Is that bad? Like, I love a good crier. I love to cry. These continue to feel like crocodile tears to me.
Yeah, they don't feel, I don't know. It's just, she's like, it's so hard for me. And then they don't look genuine. It just looks like she's forcing
herself. Well, in
fairness,
she did not get the cover of Cosmo. She did not win that date. And so, turns out that no one did. But, yeah. You know.
She's still upset about that.
But yeah. I think Hannah Ann has an astute understanding of what works on Pete. Like what he responds to.
He really does respond to that.
Affirmation.
So she says, you know, I've just been really like praying and reflecting. And so I wrote down a bunch of reasons that I'm falling for you.
True poetry.
And they're really just all about her. You make me feel like the only girl here. You make me feel beautiful.
With hot dog on my face. Yeah.
You make me feel like I don't need to be perfect.
Yeah.
This is all about her.
That's quite a haiku. But,
and all of them
is the
are
best
so
part,
general.
Though, because you are you and there's no one else like you.
It's like a really bad Dr. That Seuss
was,
poem.
No, that was pulled from Mr. Rogers. He does pretty have a theme of you are enough the way you are.
But when Mr. Rogers says it, it lands.
Yeah. Yes.
He's also
talking about children. He's talking about children. He's saying it doesn't matter what you grow up to be. You right now in this moment are enough.
Yeah. And also literally he's talking to toddlers.
Yeah.
Also, Hannah Ann,
you know, and I'm sure that
how,
helped
but
me
how
as a
different
toddler.
Is that really from yeah. what
right.
we're watching?
Right. I mean, it feels like Hannah Ann and Pete are both responding to affirmation in the way of toddlers.
Yes.
Like
yes.
toddler style relationship. Like, it is just, there's no substance here. And that really bothers me. I'm like, I don't feel like I understand Hannah Ann.
No.
I don't feel like.
No. But she understands Peter.
Here.
She understands exactly
she understands Peter.
What
she
Peter's
does.
Looking for, which is just
blind
sweet,
adoration.
Sweet words about him.
Blind adoration that includes pain.
Yes.
Like, he needs to see that they love him so much that they are in pain. He responds real well to that.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, Victoria is really starting to lose it. And she's like,
I have never seen her losing it before on this show. What is, it's a new thing for Victoria F.
It is, she does have a funny sense, like self-awareness where she's like, I know I'm annoying. Yeah. I know that my moods are difficult and I feel like a little nuts right now. And I recognize that, but I don't know how to not feel this way.
Yeah.
And then in a bad mood.
And then we just have Kelly like lounging.
She's like her feet up, like fully like chilling.
She could have been painting her nails for all we know.
It's so funny.
And then we get the great quote that if you're weak, you're not going to last. The weak get cut. And I'm like, Kelly has really just shifted this episode.
She's so tired.
She's exhausted.
Fucking over it. So Pete grabs Kelly. She's definitely getting the overconfident edit. She says, you know, she thinks she's the only one that's really mature for a real relationship. And she says she really likes him. She wants to bring him home. She thinks her family would love him. And she says, you know, not every relationship has to be jumping through all these hurdles and be super difficult. It can be easy. It can be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter just responds so viscerally poorly to the idea that a relationship could be,
could
fun.
Be fun. He's like, no. This
he
is not
hates
about fun.
That she uses the word fun. And it was odd to me because it's not like she's saying, oh, this is just so much fun and there's nothing else. No. She's saying, I like you. My family would like you. Our lives align. Like all this stuff.
She's saying it's been very natural. Like it seems like we're progressing.
But all he can hear is, oh, you think this is fun? This isn't fun in games, Kelly. This is serious. This is you are you tears serious.
I'm going to get down on one knee and propose serious. But apparently Peter doesn't want fun in any relationship moving forward. It's all about pain again.
And
pain
he gets
and
that
tears.
With Victoria F. because she's in a terrible mood. And he says, you know, we've kind of had stuff in the past and doubts and whatnot, which means nothing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, also the past, is like a minute ago.
I also love, too, again, how he's like, look, my bandage is off. Look. And she's like, yeah, your scar looks hot. And he's
When his scar starts to throb, that's how you know you need to provide validation. Like, that's what the sign is.
The scar is looking for attention.
And Pete does immediately launch into saying, you know, he's confused and he wants to understand what she makes of it. And I do understand her frustration a little bit in this moment, because it's kind of like he starts off their conversation with, like, again, can you affirm me? And what do you think about the fact that I have had doubts about you, which we have already addressed?
He's always second guessing Victoria F. And at this point, she's like, do we always have to start every single conversation?
Well, she also says, you're always in a mood when you're talking to me.
Which is like, well, Victoria, like, you're
in a mood. You are a mood.
You are a mood.
Yeah.
This is just, it's not a good relationship, is what I'm saying.
It's not a good relationship. It's clearly, like, not a match. They're so incompatible. Like, they can't even get past, like, a few sentences together without erupting.
They're always just fighting about their relationship.
Always.
I'm like, you've had 3 dates. This is bad.
Which Peter finds irresistible.
Yeah.
He loves it.
This is like,
this is the work that Kelly was talking about.
This is everyone needs to like him. And when he gets the sense that someone does not, no one else in the world matters.
Nope.
He needs the validation from that person and that person only in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the role Victoria F. is playing. And she's
playing it admirably.
Yes.
Because she also, it's this like whiplash thing where they're so incompatible, but she also says, you know, it's really just because I'm like you so much that I'm so scared that I'm going to lose you.
Yeah.
And he loves that. So he's like, well, now I need to reassure you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
because if
like,
you're this upset over me, I know we're going to last.
Exactly.
Because it means that you truly care.
Also, she cries, which he fucking loves.
Yeah.
It's like kryptonite to him.
It's all this
he
is
loves
like
a lady
the volatile, like he gets off on the sort of this volatile relationship. Like this is like a total roller coaster. Like, he equates someone that triggers his nervous system in with the high highs and the low lows as like some form of butterflies or love or chemistry or whatever you want to call it. And Victoria F. certainly, it's like, you know, he gets the high highs from her and then also like, but they're constantly fighting. And then it's like the makeup breakup dynamic. And
it's intoxicating.
It's intoxicating.
To him, he's like, that's what a relationship should be.
And I think that's what someone who's not complete, you know, who needs to work on themselves a little bit more and be able to have some other sources of validation, like maybe some internal validation.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he needs. And instead, he's just so reliant on this. And when he's stripped of it, like he is with Victoria F. on occasion, then he needs to go. He like will run through a brick wall to go get it.
He needs fun.
Yeah.
Pete needs some fun in his life.
So Victoria gets back from their conversation. She's just like, I'm mortified. That was terrible.
Which is every conversation.
I think I'm going home, basically.
Yeah.
Hannah Ann tells the other women, you know, she just shared what was on her heart. And this is where we get that Kelly voiceover where she says, I mean, look at me. I'm an attorney. The other girls, what are they?
Yeah. They're taking Peter home to their family. That's what they are.
Yeah, they're taking Peter home to their family. Yikes, Kelly. Yeah, that's all I wrote. Yikes.
But also so clearly like spliced together, those three different thoughts.
Yeah. It felt, again, it felt a little Frankenbitten
to me. She
said those
things.
Oh, yes. I think she might feel those things. But it was the way they presented it felt.
Yeah.
Again, evil.
Never saw her say any of it to camera, which bothered me.
Yeah. I think she said those things, though. I think they set her up to say those things, you know, I think. And she, you know, took the bait in an ITM.
Yeah. Yeah. I also can 100% see that. So Peter arrives back to the women and says, you know, I'm in Peter fashion, canceling the second half of this date.
Mm-hmm. We don't need dinner.
You won't be eating.
I put the FU in fun.
Yeah.
You don't need dinner, ladies. I got this. I know what I'm going to do.
Pulls Victoria up aside, and Hannah Ann and Kelly and Victoria, I think, all think Victoria's going home.
Because she's like, I don't want to go when she's walking away. And I'm like, oh, my God.
But, of course, I knew. I was like, he's not sending her home.
But it was interesting that they actually bring her to the car that you used to go home. That really was,
and
that
he's
was
like,
I like that.
Just dangling the rose, like frolicking to the car.
Yeah, he's like, you know, it hasn't been easy. But it's just you being honest, and I can never fault you for that. I want to continue this.
She literally has her door on the handle, hand on the handle.
She's looking down, she's not even looking at
him. Like, let me just get in the limo and go home, and then
Then she gets a ride back to the hotel.
Yeah. He gives her a rose, and she's like, I'm so happy.
I really felt for Kelly and Hannah Ann in this moment because clearly they have been left alone in the dark without food.
Yeah.
And
without a coat.
Very cold.
It's very cold.
Yeah.
And they're just sitting there freezing.
The raccoons are starting to circle.
And they see Peter coming back, and they're like, well, one of us is going home because he doesn't have a rose. And Peter is, again, looks really somber. He's like, Hannah Ann, I love your sweet nature. Kelly, I've been so excited and about our potential.
And our story, and how we met and how this is going. And I was like,
but Hannah Ann, here's the rose. And then Hannah Ann bursts into tears immediately.
Sobbing, hysterics.
Again, I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm so skeptical.
I think
of
she
her
was just
emotions.
Freezing.
Yeah, she's probably just very cold.
Get me home.
And yeah. Okay. I guess I'll give her the benefit of the doubt and just assume that she was.
I think it was an emotional,
anxiety.
It was a long day. Yeah.
And we had seen this clip teased in a lot of the promos, and we learned it's happy tears. So again, misdirect. Kelly's like, "Yep, sucks. It didn't work out." But Pete clearly has things he needs to figure out. And Peter at this point says he just sees Kelly as a friend, and I don't believe that.
Yeah,
I don't actually buy that. I did see that with Natasha. Mm-hmm. With Kelly, it didn't seem like they had a friend vibe at all. I don't think he would want to be her friend.
No.
I don't think she wants to be his friend.
I think, he just didn't. She's too fun.
It. Yeah.
She's too easy. It's too easy with Kelly, and
no,
she has too many
too
of the
stable.
Qualities.
She's too stable. She's too sure of what she wants. She's too sort of healthy. He's not attracted to what could potentially be a healthy relationship.
She doesn't need to be
saved
by him, and she doesn't need to be made to be in constant agony over her feelings for him.
And again, she doesn't have a soft story. And she doesn't have anything to share that would,
And he's going purely based off chemistry, and his chemistry compass is way off. His chemistry compass is points north to people.
Cleveland.
Yeah, who points north towards women who, like we said, trigger his nervous system, who give him this shot of dopamine, and then also, this up and down. And when he sees women crying, when he sees women being difficult or whatever, it gets him in this tizzy that he confuses as
passion.
As romance and passion and love.
Yeah.
And Kelly doesn't do that, and Natasha didn't do that, and so that's why those kinds of women go home.
I did love Kelly's time in the car. She's like, I have no idea why I'm in this car, but Peter made his decision, and that is that. She's like, I think these women are childish, and Peter is not decisive, and that's on him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want him to waste my time either. Quote, thank you for not meeting my family. I was just clapping. I'm like, yes.
Great.
Kelly, fuck yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
She's seeing exactly what we're all seeing as viewers. It's like,
she's like, this dude doesn't know what he wants.
Yeah, he does not know what he wants.
Thank you. I'll take a night of room service and get on a plane.
Yeah. It's like a moment of sanity there. It's like, oh my, now that you're
out
of it. My God, what, this was crazy. This was the disaster anyway.
And this would not have been a fit.
Yeah.
No.
And I remember too feeling when I was sent home right before hometowns of, I'm glad on much better terms, but sort of I was, I'm glad that she didn't come home and meet my family, and I didn't introduce her to my family if she really knew that there were three other men that were, ahead of me as far as, her feelings goes. So I think you should be grateful for that, right?
She definitely was. And as she's in the car talking, we get the hotel scene when the women are just
on
hugging each other, hugging him. It was a weird vibe.
It was a weird vibe. And I was looking at these four women and I was like, I don't see long-term potential with any of you with Peter.
I think this is my least favorite final four.
Same.
Ever.
That I can,
There's always at least one person that I'm rooting really for into. Or I'm into her, him.
At best, I feel neutral about these women. Like, I feel... Madison's fine.
And I was into Madison this whole season. And I respect what she disclosed to Peter this week, but I'm also like, there's no way it's going to work.
No,
So now I can't
root for her because I don't think it's good for either of them.
Yeah.
And then it's like, Hannah Ann? Is it Hannah Ann in a second?
No.
So then you're just like, no, I don't.
I don't see it with any of them. I'm sorry. I don't see it. I think this is.
It's hard.
Yeah, this season's rough. But thank you, Michael, for talking it through with us.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. Always a fun time.
Come back anytime.
Always fun. It's always fun here.
And now it's time for Feminism Fails. Lee, wanna kick us off?
Sure do. Kelsey says she wants to be able to work a couple days a week, but also be at home because it's important to raise your kids and be at home with them. You know, as a mom myself, I didn't like how she was implying that full-time working moms don't raise their kids. I try my best to raise my daughter. but, you know, it's a complicated topic. I'm going to give this a 4 because you should never just say that, you know, because you're working or you're a working mother that you're not raising your kids. And it's hard, you know, to not have a 2-income household these days. And if you don't, and if you don't need to go to work, it's wonderful to be at home with your kids. But everybody's different, and we shouldn't put any pressure to believe otherwise.
Absolutely. Pete says that he thinks it's obvious that Kelsey knows what she wants despite the fact that her parents are divorced, and he seems to think this is a compliment. Gonna give that one a 3. I understand that he was just trying to affirm her strength, but as we've expressed before, it's damaging to assume that someone's parents' marriage determines their readiness or their desire or what they are able to handle. And I just didn't love the backhanded compliment.
Totally agree. And lastly, we have Kelly, who said, I mean, look at me. I'm an attorney. The other girls, what are they? I'm going to give this a 2 because we talked about how this sounds Frankenbite-y, how things seem spliced together. But being a lawyer just doesn't make you better than anyone.
Right. No. You can't lord your career over someone else and believe that makes you have more value. On the other hand, I do, and this is probably colored by my own, like, position in the world. Like, I relate to Kelly. So it's complicated, but we got to call out the ones we love.
Yes, you know? We do.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guests, Michael Garofola, and our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Please subscribe to Here to Make Friends wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a moment of Peter's season recaps, and give us a 5-star rating and review.
Give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Here to Make Friends Pod.
And you can follow us individually on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Lee Blickley and at Lee BZ.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose.
We'll be back next week for episode 8 of The Bachelor. Yay for hometowns.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.